Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is one of your hosts for this afternoon. And it's amazing how God reveals himself to us. And this is our title, our theme. This is words that work. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear, feel. And today we will be talking about I'll just storm a little bit to see if the co-host was going to click in. We'll talk about courage for difficult times or times as it is. Other times as this. What do we mean about courage? What is courage? Why do you think that topic was chosen? The spirit of courage sounds like something that might even be biblical. Whenever he's made it clear, he gives us the spirit of courage and not the spirit of fear. And in so doing, what does that do for us? That gives us the ability to stand strong. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Courage. We have the spirit of courage as a result of the word. And because we have that, where does that come from? What is the source of our courage? Why is it that we are capable, are able to stand? What authority, and where does the authority come from that gives us courage to be able to do what? The courage to be able to have patience, the courage to rest on the divine authority, the courage to have confidence in the Creator. We can stand firm in our faith and watch God work. Now, for years, I didn't really hear all this because it wasn't what I wanted to hear. And because it wasn't what I wanted to hear, I missed out on a whole lot. I didn't develop the patience, because with patience comes what? Understanding. Words that work. The word, the scripture that I read, the words in there works. And then the scripture that's in Luke 10:18-19, it gives us authority over demons, scorpions, and serpents, and power over the enemy. Words. Still words. Some words in on a piece of paper. That one says that these were the words that the divine spirit spoke into us. So let's go back. Who is this divine spirit, or who is this creator, this Elohim, What is the foundation for that? How do we come into understanding that that's who the Creator is, and that's where our strength comes from? We go back. We must read. We go back to the book of Genesis and the holy book of the Bible. Some people call it a holy book. And that book, in the first chapter, he made it clear that he gave us, well, first, he made sure that we understood who created what, when, and how. As we look at all of this, what do we think we see? And we see in Genesis, round about chapter 1, round about the 26th verse, we see the Creator made it clear that he created the heavens and the earth. Good evening. What we're doing is establishing the origin of our power, the origin of our authority. And we came to a conclusion based on the word as written that the Creator existed before there was a heaven or an earth, before there was time or space, and he created the heavens and the earth. So now if he created the heavens and the earth, there was nothing in existence prior to that. And so he created the heavens. That means he created the angels that's there in the heaven. He created the earth. That means he created the people, the animals, and everything that rose on the earth. So now we get that established that the Elohim is the Creator. And as a result of that, his word gives us the spirit of courage and a sound mind. And as a result of that, whenever we say that we stand in the strength of God, or we can say another way, that we are standing firm on the word. And if we are standing firm on the word, that's the source of our power. It's like you got a nice car, beautiful car, current year. You might have paid over $100,000 for it. And his John got a car. He paid 20-some thousand dollars for it. Neither one of the cars, your car, you paid over $100,000 for. If it doesn't have a battery, that has no power. It has no power. That car will not start. And once it starts, you got a generator or an alternator that puts the power back into that battery that it lost. So when you think of the word by faith, and now faith comes from hearing the word, and when we exercise our faith, the word puts more back into it. When we use up part of our faith dealing with situations and circumstances, because it's clear that the divine spirit had no intention for us to be fighting with the devil, because when he created the heavens and the earth, there was no devil. There was no Satan. When that came about was whenever Lucifer, who's the fair angel of them all, whenever he disobeyed the Creator, and he got some of his colleagues to be disobedient, and I start a little revolution there in heaven, and God cast them out. And that's when he became Satan or the devil at that time. And he became that because he was disobedient. Now, if God didn't intend for us to fight with him, God didn't intend for us to allow him to take power and authority over us. So now what are we saying? What does his word say? Let's go back to his word. His word says in Luke 10:18-19, that he has given us authority over demons, scorpions, serpents, and power over the enemy. And as a result of that, we don't have to be fearful of anything or any being or anybody, because the divine spirit has given us, he prepared us. And as Paul came along in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the whole armor and stand firm, just stand firm. And it's amazing whenever we look at the Exodus, Moses got down to the river. And what happened? Moses couldn't take the people across the river. The divine spirit stepped in and parted the waters. Now, if the divine spirit stepped in and parted the waters, and that was in front of me, blocking my ability to cross over to safety, and I looked behind me, here comes Pharaoh and his army, and I'm able to get across, and then the army wind up being no more. I'm going someplace with this. Why is it then that those individuals died out in the wilderness? They never got to see the promised land. Why did in their mind, why did they become disobedient as they were walking through the desert when they had the memory of what the Creator did for them whenever their back was against the wall? Well, let's just give some thought to all of this. The source of all power, the source of all authority. Whenever we look at it that way, now, that whenever he gave us the source, gave them the source, did they have to do anything? No. They watched the Creator open the sea. And what did they have to do? Just walk across. That was the only thing. They did not have to take part in the waters. The Creator did that. All they had to do was watch him do that. And even when they watched him do that, they still became disobedient. They knew Moses couldn't do it or didn't do it. And they saw Pharaoh behind them. It seems like when they were out there wandering in that desert, that their memory would have taken them back to their point of departure. And see, we can even go back farther than that. The Passover, which they just celebrated recently. The Passover, the blood of the doorpost, and the death angel passed over them, over their household. Think about all the times that Elohim had manifested itself to the children of Israel, and they still didn't realize that he was the source of all power. It's just like the battery. If you don't have a battery, I don't care how much you pay for your car, your airplane, or your boat, or whatever. It's not going to start. It's not going to move. I guess you just sit in it and pretend. What is the source of your power? What is the source of your authority? In Luke 10, the Creator, through his beloved Son, made it clear. The source is the Word, and the Word says that we have been given power, well, authority, over demons, scorpions, serpents. That's Luke 10, verse 18. And 19, power over the enemy. But most of the time we stop there. And that's where we turn our vehicle off. Because we're going to run out of energy. Because we will be attacked by the enemy. And if we're not careful, we won't be able to stand firm. Because we start thinking that we did this, that power and authority that we exercise did not come from anything or in being outside of ourselves. And that is not true, according to the Word now. Dealing with authority and power, the source of authority and power. And I think 5:14, again, Jesus made it clear. Who's the source? He said the Father. We look to the Father and ask the Father, the source. And when we look at it and think about the Father as the Creator, that makes it clear in our mind, as the old pastors used to say, in our mind's eye. That's the spiritual side of us, because we are both human and spiritual beings. Because, again, you go back to Genesis where God created us. He made it clear. He breathed a breath of life into us, into Adam. And then became a living being. Now, this courage for the times of the courage of the time is this, of the courage for difficult times, of courage in difficult times. No matter how you word it, you have courage. That's the courage. You have it. Do you know you have it? Well, you say, well, I heard them say it. But have you read it for yourself? That's the way you're going to find out. That's the way you're going to really come into a knowledge or understanding of the power and authority, the divine power and authority that you have been given. Now that we have been given, because we all are in this together. So, courage for difficult times. And a lot of people define these times that we are living in now as difficult times. I know I look at it, I never thought I'd live this long to see the decay that's taking place in the nation, the decay, spiritual decay that's taking place. So how do I keep my head up? How do I see beyond the chaos, the murders, and everything that's going on now? People taking away people's rights, people who walked and protested and marched and got the laws changed so they could vote right there, even if they couldn't, so that their offsprings could vote. That's been, they're trying to take that away now. You ask people, why are you allowing that to get you concerned or upset? It's just an institution, a man-made institution. And the creator created the man, the men and women that are in doing this. So now, if the creator gave us dominion over the earth, he must have given us power and authority. And are we aware of that? He put it in a book. Maybe I remember hearing this years ago. If you want something, you want to hide something from the minorities, from the minority community, just put it in a book or put it on paper. Write it down. What is that saying? That's saying, they don't read. So they won't even know what hit them. But the ones of us who have begun this walk with the Creator, he has prepared us, put everything in this earth, in the earth realm, that we would need to overcome whatever being, human or otherwise, attempt to attack us. What should we do? He says, stand firm in our faith and watch him work. Now, years ago, I was standing firm. I'm not going to allow the enemy to do this to me. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to go toe to toe. And limited understanding that I had of the word, I thought that's what it meant, that I could go toe to toe with the enemy, with the devil. That's what it meant. But whenever you sit down and get into the word and begin to read the word, study the word, meditate and reflect on the word, you run across scriptures. You run across the words that tell you what and how you should do to defeat the devil. When Jesus was tempted out there 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness, he was hungry. He was without food, so sure, he was hungry. He was human, just like the rest of us. But he was human with a solid spiritual connection to the Father. Whenever his baptism, the Father, the Spirit of the Father descended into him, and at the same time, the Father said, called him his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. To me, that's the basic difference between me and the Messiah. That relationship, that spiritual relationship that he had with the Creator. And whenever I look at him and I look at Adam, now, Adam was created directly by the Creator. The Messiah came to us through the womb of a woman, but yet the Messiah had the spirit of courage that he could stand firm, whereas Adam, he didn't. He chose to be disobedient. Now, you know, we look at in Matthew, look in the gospel, we see what Jesus said on his way to the cross. He was made it clear that he, what he saw, he didn't particularly want to do it. I'm paraphrasing it. And but he said, not my will. He asked the Father, take this cup from me. There's another way that this could be done, is what he was saying. But then in the same breath, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the type of courage that you get from the word. From the word. And you say, now, all that sounds all well and good. Now, I've had a couple, I must admit, talking about myself. I had 3+ miracles, and I just mentioned the 2. One of them was when I was in the hospital after I got executed, and one of my blood vessels burst, and the blood hit the ceiling, which was an 8-foot ceiling, and they had to rush me in. That was after I had dinner. They had to rush me into the operating room so I wouldn't bleed there. And what happened was I did not want to have another operation. They did what they did to stop it from bleeding, and they had me scheduled for an operation the next morning. Well, my prayer overnight was for healing, for divine healing, for a miracle. And when I woke up that next morning and the doctors made their rounds, they were shocked to see they didn't need to operate, take me to the operating room to fix that up. He told the nurse, the doctor, head doctor, that was at Duke on Knox Ward, the top floor. That's where, if you go back then, if you went on that ward, Knox Ward, if you got there, you're in pretty bad shape and they were going to operate on you. That was the rumor at that time. Well, it was a rumor. That was real. That was people who had been burnt, had burns, people who had aneurysm. Because back then they didn't have the knowledge they have now. They didn't have the technology that they have now. And so you saw people with sunken skull because they had to take out part of their skull. All of that was on that floor. And people, amputees. And that was one. Like I said, that was a miracle. And the doctors couldn't explain it. And they just told the nurse, just clean it and bandage it up. And that was all they said. And they kept on to the next patient because they were a little perplexed as to what happened. The second one, that crashed the airplane in 1977, yeah, Piper, four-passenger plane. I crashed because I didn't have experience in crosswind landing. And I had to get down. I couldn't park it on a cloud and take the escalator down or the elevator down. So I had to get down out of the air. And I commenced to do that. And there was in the runway, there was trees. And I had to pull up and stall the aircraft. And it crashed. And I was in the hospital, so the doc came to me. He said, well, we're going to have to operate on your arm because I broke my left arm. He said, we're going to have to operate on that because I want to make sure that there are no jagged edges on the bone and might rupture an artery or something. Well, he told me that on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday morning, after prayer, he came in and he said, send me down to the x-ray because he wanted to make sure. And when he read the x-rays, He said, see that look like spider web? He said, that means your bone is healing, so we don't have to go in. That was the second miracle. So I'm a witness to words that work. God's words works. And whenever you hear the word, and you, it becomes alive in you. And you hear it as written because you read it for yourself. I have read it for myself. And I knew by faith, I knew that I could get a miracle if I invited God into the midst of that situation. And that's what I did. And that's all I did. And that's what I understand as standing firm means. Standing firm in our faith. As we stand firm in our faith, and then what do? What I did, I stood firm in my faith and I watched God work. I saw the manifestation, rather, of God's work overnight, that morning. Words that work, it's not what you say. It's what the people hear and feel. I heard the voice of God speaking to me in those words through the Messiah, his beloved son, who he gave the authority to and who gave it to the 12 men that God given him. And those 12 men remained faithful. They recognized that the Messiah was the beloved son of God, and as a result of that, the power and authority got transmitted to us. Got transmitted to me almost 2,000 years later. So words that work. And we need to know what words that work. Just like we curse people. Just like we speak negative on people, into people's lives. We expect that to work. But yet, we don't expect the words that the Creator left to do what he said that they would do. I see the co-host is here. Do you have a comment at this time? In the words of wisdom.
No, just listening and basking in the truth of a good evening to everyone, an afternoon, a morning, wherever you may be listening in at, first and foremost. But the words that you shared was just truth. And as Scripture tells us, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if we were never tested, our faith was never tested, we wouldn't have a testimony. So it's just a blessing to hear some of your testimony. Amen.
Yes, it is. It's a blessing. It was a blessing to me. And this popped up on my cell phone. And because I pulled up the other scripture on the 2 Timothy. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. And as an arrow went through a heart, but of power and love, sound mind. And you know, but we have to know who the Creator is. And see, the Creator that was in the Old Testament, what we call Old Testament, I never thought that he would do anything but chastise me, but just wait till I did something wrong and then jump all over me. And that was lack of knowledge, lack of understanding, because I hadn't really, when what I brought to the scripture whenever I was reading it was fear, was negativity. And that's what I got. It wasn't too much later in life that whenever I read what people call the Old Testament, I call the foundation. And that's whenever my image, my understanding of the Creator changed. He wasn't just sitting there waiting for me to do something wrong. He told me, if you do this, that's what's going to happen to you. And I chose not to listen to it and did it anyway. And then turn around and want to blame the Creator for being mean spirit. And whenever we think about it that way, that's how to help us to understand, gain an understanding. And it sort of helped us to have a leap of faith that the Creator gave us a manual, or gave us the law, or gave us a word. And not only just giving us a word, but he gave us the consequences. And now, if you do this, this is going to happen to you. If you do that, that will happen to you. He made it clear that he blessed who he wants and cursed who he wants. So therefore, if you are disobedient, then you deserve punishment according to the word. If you were sitting and you had children and you explained to your children, and you could have done it in writing, giving them a written document, telling them what your expectation of them. And then you laid out what the consequences would be. Now, you didn't tell them that they couldn't do it. You just told them what the consequences are if they don't do it your way. Now, I'm glad that the Creator that I know did not make me a robot. Even though at times I have cried out, maybe you should have made me a robot. I wouldn't have to be going through this. But think about it. Why would he need a robot? We wouldn't be in this condition we're in, but what did he do? He made everybody with a certain amount, everybody and everything he made with a certain amount of free will. Free will. You can choose to go down that path over there, but you may be ambushed. Or you can choose to go down the path over here, and you have all the protection that you would need to walk down that path safely. And we, words now, we're just talking about words. As we look at what's happening now, we listen to the words. For example, when I turn on the TV today, the news, 4 killed in Alabama, and many more injured. And you sit there Didn't we just go through this last week? A week before that? And then you said, NRA just had its big shindig, and you had the Republican Party wannabes there. And before that they could get home good, here's another homicide, 4 people dead. And these are not adults. These were youth, juveniles, 16 years, sweet 16 party. And I just shot up the place. In a community of 3,000 people. Think about that. Just about everybody knows everybody. And guess what? The governor has recently signed a bill into law that you do not need a background check, that you do not need safety, firearm safety program. You do not have to go through that. And here, I don't know how old the person was that did the killing. I'm going to get that. But here's a person, 18-year-old, can carry a weapon legally in the state of Alabama. I mean, then I sat there and I thought about it. At one point, I was really concerned. But now, what came to me is that I need to be invoking the power of God over these legislators and praying that their hearts be changed and that the Holy Spirit will go to them and convict them so they will stop allowing assault weapons to be placed in the hands of any human being, because assault weapon in a human being that's not a member of the military, because assault weapon is basically for the military. Now, you can have firearms. I grew up with them. Some of you heard this story before, but I grew up with them. They were for hunting. A firearm is to kill, K-I-L-L. That's the purpose that it was made for, to kill, to destroy. Now, doesn't that sound like somebody? Something that we heard of before? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And here we got a weapon. You know, that's the purpose of my weapons. Kill. To prevent me from being killed. So now, how is it that the words that they use, they say, it's not, we don't need to ban firearms, it's them people. Well, no, that's true. That firearm cannot go off without a person controlling it, pressing the trigger. Now, unless they got sophisticated robots now, and they send the robot in, they have those that can do that. But I'm just perplexed at how we have a segment of the population that's adamant about not passing laws to prevent people from carrying or purchasing weapons of mass destruction. Words. If the words that they use to justify a person buying a weapon and going and kill 4 people at a sweet 16 birthday party. I remember when I was 16, I just don't understand the mentality of any person that took an oath to protect and serve the people, allowing a weapon of mass destruction to enter into any community. Well, words. And that's the end, it says. It's not what you say, it's what the people hear and feel. The people who are in love with their phone, they don't care what you tell them or what you say about it. The first thing they're going to do is cry their Second Amendment rights. And whenever you go back and look at that and apply it to today, they did not have a standing army back then. Today we have a standing army that can protect us. Therefore, there is no militia. So why do I need an assault weapon to protect me whenever the military is here to protect me? It's just, but then the words speak of time as this. And therefore, we have to have the courage to stand firm on our faith. Our faith says that no matter how or what's going on around us, we can overcome because the word says so. I'm going to pause here. We did. And see if anybody has any comment that they would like to make at this time. Someone dropped off. I'm not sure who it was. I guess it was the listener. Now, I hope that, the divine spirit gave us this topic for today. So somebody somewhere have been touched by the word as we spoke it, as we discussed it. And so doing that, they will be able to find peace in this time that we're in. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And that's the point that I had to come to before I could stand firm by faith. Basically, I was trying to, it was my understanding, it was what I wanted, and that's why I was not submitted, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Well, that wasn't happening. Because I wasn't doing it according to his will. And whenever we start doing things according to the will of God, then we don't wind up having to repeat things like we have had to do prior to. And we will find that God has laid out his path for us before calling us into the earth. And those of us that he has called out of the world, we say that we are in the world but not of it. It's because we realize words that work, the creator words work. And we don't be trying to second guess. We don't be adding to or subtracting from what his word says. Because when we start doing that, the second part says is what the people hear and feel. When we start adding to or subtracting from, then that take away the power and authority that's contained in the word. And that means once that happens, we open ourselves to the enemy. And actually, I did mention patience. Patience. I had to learn that. That's all part of understanding the power and authority that's contained in the words. Sometimes we speak it, and sometimes we say that's what we live by. And as a result of that, we should have patience and allow this work to be done. Allow the manifestation of the work, of the words, rather. But I know I didn't have patience. I just didn't have it. When do you want it? Now. I want it now. So if I wanted it now, and it was a process, that's why he said we must stand firm in our faith. And sometimes it's a process. It doesn't happen like now, like yesterday. It may be in place now because he heard us and he's responded. But for it to manifest itself, for us to experience a manifestation, maybe there's a little speck in our eye that needs to be moved, a boulder that's in our eyes that needs to be moved. And as a result of that, it may take a day. It may take a year. Patience. And if you walk in that understanding, you stand firm on your faith during that time that you were waiting, he put his arm of protection around you. No harm or danger is going to come to you. But if you do like I used to do, you step outside, it's taking too long. I got a help card, but this don't make sense. And then I'm opening myself up to who? Okay, some people say, there's no devil. Well, think about it. Is there, for you may not be, but for other people it may be. When we think about it, ask the question, what does the word say? The word is clear that it is. And the word is clear that the Messiah said that he came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Now, that statement, when I first heard it, I was, But then when I sat with it for a while, it took me back to the garden. The tree of life was in the garden, right? The tree of good and evil was in the garden. But what did Adam and Eve select? They select from the tree of good and evil. The tree of knowledge, rather, not the tree of good and evil, the tree of knowledge, which is significant. A lot of us, we don't see that word. We don't hear that word. They did not select good or evil. It was the knowledge of good or evil. So they didn't really get the real thing. They just got a knowledge of, not an understanding of it, but knowledge. That's what tripped them up. And that's what's tripping up a lot of people now, knowledge. You got knowledge, but no understanding. So when I came into that understanding of what Jesus did, he transplanted that tree of knowledge. He did the same thing to it that he did to the fig tree. He cursed it and it died. Why did I say that? Because he, in the next breath, he said that he destroyed the works of the devil. What happened to the fig tree when it came back the next day? It died. The tree of life. What happened to the other fig tree that the man told Jesus, don't cut it down. Don't curse it. I will nurture it. I will provide some nurturing for this tree. And it will bear fruit. That was life, tree of life. I equate those two with that together. Life. When we understand life and its source, and we understand our role and responsibility in life, that's whenever we have the right type of relationship with the Creator. I mean, we all have relationship, whether it's good, bad, we have relationship. And I hadn't thought about that before, but we do. It could be a bad relationship with the Creator. Or a good relationship with the Creator. But we have a relationship. All right, co-host, you have a comment? Are you still there?
I am still here, but I had received a call, so I kind of missed some of what you said, sir. I apologize.
All right.
Because I'm on my, yeah.
Your apology is accepted. And we are coming to the close of this segment anyway. Next week, hopefully we will have Professor Campbell here to talk about the book that she read and talk about women and how women of color have been, I'm trying to think of the words for it. They think that women of color are iron, made of iron, that they can do anything, everything. The book, I start skimming through it, and that's why some of the things that the society has done to black women, the women of color, has been inhumane, because they just think that. Well, we'll wait till next week. And,
yeah, that's a good idea.
We could get Sister Campbell on to talk about it, and she will set the parameters, and we'll take it from there.
Amen.
I want to thank everybody for listening. And would you like to say a prayer on our way out? Especially for those individuals that, I guess, it's, let me put it this way. The statistic used to say, I don't know whether it's increase or decrease, that for every homicide, 42 people are impacted. 42. Mm. Now, if you only have 3,000 people in that community, some of those, majority of those people are impacted some way directly with what took place last night. And that's a whole lot of people in one little community. So think of the children. Think of the grandmamas. And they're all probably into, once they're all, a lot of them probably related by marriage.
Mm. Now, did I miss, was there a specific situation you're addressing? Did I miss, I may have missed that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, last night there was four in Alabama, somewhere northeast of Montgomery, Alabama, where there was four killers. And it was a sweet 16 birthday party. And somebody killed four people and wounded a lot of others.
Wow.
Yeah, and that just happened. And a week ago or so ago, we had the three 9-year-olds and three 16-year-olds right up there in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
All around, yeah. And one of the way that they define these statistics now, police chaplain. But the way, if it's four murders, it gets recorded. Now, think of all of those where there was just one homicide, or two homicide, or three homicide. That doesn't get recorded. It has to be four before it's a mass killing.
Wow.
To me, two is a mass killing.
Exactly.
But that's not the way the system does it.
It's designed to work. Wow. Okay. Well, we just keep praying and we'll continue to pray the word. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and the words that do work, and understanding, have that understanding, is not what we say, it's how, it's what the people hear when we say what we say, and it's what they feel. We thank you for the compassion that you've given us, yet still we're bold with what you decree and have us to decree and declare, which is your word. We're going to continue to trust in you, Yahweh, with all our heart. We're going to continue not to lean on our own understanding. We're going to continue to know you and come to acknowledge you, hallelujah, in all your ways, not our own. And you're going to continue to make our path straight. We thank you for that, Father. We just thank you as we're praying your word, even as we're thinking on these from Alabama and all these shootings. The shooting that took place at the Sweet 16 party in Alabama. Father, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Where four were killed and a whole lot were wounded. I didn't see that report, but my heart just goes out to that situation. And not even knowing what caused the enemy to get into the mind of the person who even did it. Father, we just lift up those who's affected and all the families. Oh, Father, all the families that's involved that has to deal with this tragic loss. Father, we just lift them up before you, and even the ones that happened in Tennessee a little over a week ago, Father, the little 9-year-old babies and the, you know, they're babies to most of us, and the older adults, the teachers. Father, we just lift up those family members and all this massive shooting that's going on. Yes, even the ones that we don't even know about, that's not even reported. Have mercy, Father. We just ask that you have mercy while your mercy can be found. We ask that you continue to release your comfort and your shalom peace to these family members. And we don't always understand, and even as the people of the Most High, as we don't understand, and we're not to lean to our own understanding. We're going to keep acknowledging you even through this and continue to keep praying to you and looking toward the hills from which cometh all of our help. Because we don't understand what's going on. We know it's an enemy out here in this world, and he's doing what he's been destined to do. He was cursed. He cursed himself, got his own self cursed, and he's destined to kill, to steal, and destroy. Hallelujah. But we thank you for your Messiah you sent, that he came to give us life, and we'd have it more abundantly. And we thank you that we are to pray at all times for every situation and all kind of prayers. We're just standing in the gap, and we just thank you. You said in your word that man ought always to pray and not faint, not cave in and quit and give in as a coward. We thank you that we're always praying. We're always standing in the gap for others and one another. And, Father, we're just lifting up these situations, and I'm sure many others that we can't even think about right now with these massive shootings and all those involved. Father, we just lift it all up to you and just ask that you get involved and get in the midst and work all things out. And we just pray this thing and all things in your mighty name. We just lift up the apostle here on tonight. Hallelujah. We just thank you for the word that went forth. Hallelujah. As he was continuing to share and encourage with the word. The word is what works, and it doesn't work sometimes. Yes. Hallelujah. The word works all the time. You said your word will never return back void, and we thank you. It will go out and do what you accomplishes it to do. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And we thank you for that. We just give you praise, glory, and honor, Father, for all that you're doing, all that you've done, and all that you're yet to do. And we pray this prayer in the mighty name of your Son, Yeshua. Hallelujah. We call him the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And to you,
amen.
Father, be all the glory. Hallelujah.
Glory. Yes.
Shalom. Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Until next week.
Amen. Amen.